to know that we serve a good God, isn't it? And that He leads us and guides us. And we can praise Him in all things because we know in all things He is good, isn't He? He's not a God of death or disease or pestilence or lack. He is a good God that has prosperity, that has blessings, that has healing for us. Amen? Let's pray. Father God, we thank You. We love You. We honor You, God. We thank You that You are good in all things and You have good things for us. God, I praise You and thank You that You love us and that we can walk in Your ways, which are good ways. So God, we pray that this morning we would just have an awesome morning together and that we'd be blessed. Bless those that are watching online today, God. I pray that they're encouraged. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You guys can have a chair. Sorry, I'm just trying to adjust my microphone after, because you can't really wear a microphone and a mask, and like this doesn't work so well, so. And then I'm a heavy breather sometimes, and then it gets all wet inside, and your microphone gets wet, and nobody likes that. It's me that has to clean the microphone, but I still, and I don't like that. So, we're excited to be here. I don't know which camera's on, Ella. The big one? Okay, perfect. So, I hope that worked better for everybody watching online, to be able to see the words clearly and then allow you to sing. So, we're back here at Sunday Church, and I'm glad to be here. We're in this series called Authority. And the first week of the series, we talked about the name of Jesus. And what does that name mean for you? And then the second and third weeks, we talked about who we are in Jesus and the authority that we can walk in because of who we are in His name, right? And this week, we're going to talk a little bit different, but it's still the same idea about authority. And I ask myself this question sometimes, and I'm sure some of you might ask yourself this type of question, is what's holding us back? What is one of the things that is the biggest things that holds us back from walking in our authority? Some people might say things like, well, it's not God's will that I walk in that authority. Or maybe people say, well, it's the devil. It's this person that doesn't let me walk in my authority. Or it's this thing. And I can't even think of things right now. I had things this week and I should have made notes of them, but that's okay. I'm sure you can think of the things that you've heard or said, maybe. Was that my cheek? Oh, sorry. I won't do a duck face when I'm posing for the camera, and then I won't hit the microphone. Whatever it's called. You know what? Nobody's laughing this morning. Come on, that was a funny joke. So, can you hear me? Am I okay? So what's the greatest thing holding us back today? And I think the greatest thing holding us back, holding me back, holding you back from walking in God's goodness and His promises and in the authority that He has given you is you. It's not God. It's not your neighbor. It's you. And in some respect, we need to grow up and we need to know the Word of God, know the Bible, know Scripture. I'm not going to be pulling too many punches today, so if you get mad, or watch the message on offense. So the message is on offense. There's a reason why we led with that. So are you spending time in God's Word and getting past the basics? Is the question I have for you. Are you digging in? Are you reading it and saying, this is how this applies in my life? And are you reading the Word of God and are you praying the Word of God as you pray? Or are you still spending time begging and pleading and haven't figured out why it doesn't seem to be working for you? Because the problem, well, we'll talk about that later. So Psalm 78:41 says, again and again they tested God's patience and provoked the Holy One of Israel. There's another translation that says, yes, again and again, they tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel. The people of God, Israel, tempted God and they limited God. They were the limiter of God's work in their lives. I'm the limiter with God. I'm I don't even know if I'm describing this right. So Gary, if I'm mechanically incorrect, just overlook it because you'll figure out what I'm trying to say. That when you're trying to hit the gas and you got the throttle, I'm what doesn't let the throttle open up to full horsepower and allow me to race down the road. I hope that makes sense. If not, pray about it. But do you know what I'm saying there? We're what's limiting God. We're holding him back. God isn't holding back any promises for me. He isn't delaying his response to me or delaying his promises back to me, which I already have. They're already there. They're already yes and amen. It's me. I don't know what's going on there. You'll have to overlook that too. See, God doesn't have better timing for you or I to be healed 5 years down the road after I've suffered. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day where I can have and achieve sozo, where I can be healed, whole, and restored in Jesus' name. Today is the day for breakthrough. And I'm so tired of hearing about why God doesn't do something and why God isn't doing it now or why God is failing you in your terms, in people's terms, not yours in specific. And I hope that you're tired of hearing that too. I've read books and I've seen books and I've had conversations with people and they've made comments about why God delays something. And this is why. He's trying to teach you a lesson. Trying to teach me a lesson? The only lesson I need to learn is from the Word of God, and I need to declare that over my life, and I need to pray it, and I need to know Him. When it comes to the promises that Jesus died for, and He defeated them when He died on the cross, didn't He? They're defeated. They're done. And when we pray and we've talked about it for communion, by His stripes, we are healed, right? It's not future tense. It's not maybe healed. It's I am healed. When He took the curse of the law, there is no delaying the removal of the curse on our life. Jesus, like the people of Israel limiting God, we are the greatest limitation of the miraculous coming out of our life. And if we're limiting God, we need to spend some time in His Word and ask the Holy Spirit to lead us, to show us, to guide us, so that we can grow. See, I don't know if we're like, okay, so if we're praying and we're praying and we're praying and we're praying and we're praying, God, make my knee not hurt. God, make my knee not hurt. God, make my knee not hurt. God isn't up in heaven at the decision desk waiting to see if it's going to be, you know, am I going to heal his knee or am I not? We're taking the ballots in Saskatchewan first, and then we're going to take him in Alberta, and we're going to recount. He's not sitting at decision desk waiting to decide if he's going to answer your prayer or not. God isn't up there pondering, should I heal him or shouldn't I heal him? I don't know. God wants to open up the benefits of healing in your life. It's up to you to walk in that. He isn't waiting for you to say the right thing and, oh, ding, 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 we have a winner, you're healed today. That's not how this works. It's not how it works. See, and hear me. This is, what I'm saying is it's not God holding back healing. It's us holding back the healing. It's almost like us pushing back the healing at times. And 2 Peter 1:3 says, His divine power has granted us all things. Thank you. I was going to say some things just to play with you, but all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us called us to His glory and excellence. That should be something to stand on, shouldn't it? We're qualified for every promise that is in His Word. And for some reason, as soon as a problem comes up, people want to go back to what they were taught before, what they learned back from, I don't know who. Somebody gave them some bad advice, I think, because I don't want to walk in that bad advice. I sure would want to walk in all of the promises of God, don't you? That was pretty quiet for this big group. Don't you want to walk in all the promises of God? Thank you. I want you guys to. And see, I think one of the problems, like Hosea 4:6 reminds us, is my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. And I've been here beating this on you guys for the past while. Nathan's been beating this on you guys for who knows how long, years. But we have good news here we can share and we can talk about and we can learn and we can live in. We now know that, like Israel, I am the greatest thing limiting God in my life. Am I not? Satan doesn't have the power. Jesus already paid for me to walk in the promises that salvation have for me. It's about us developing our heart and renewing our mind as we get to know God and His Word for our lives. So we're gonna kind of park here for a little bit on 2 Peter 1-4, and I'm gonna read this, and we're gonna jump to another idea, and then we're gonna come back and kind of break down a couple verses for you, okay? I'll have you out of here sometime between 4 and 5 Pacific time. Gives me 2 more hours. I love time change. So 2 Peter 1:1-4 brings some clarity onto this idea of the new covenant. It says, Simon Peter, a bondservant and apostle, special messenger, personally chosen representative of Jesus Christ, to those who have received and possess a precious faith of the same kind as ours, by the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. For His divine power has bestowed on us absolutely everything necessary for dynamic spiritual life and godliness through true and personal knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and excellence. For by these He has bestowed on us His precious and magnificent promises. Huh, that's pretty awesome, eh? So that by them you may escape from the immoral freedom that is the world because of disreputable desire and become sharers of this divine nature. The precious faith that the believer has in this new covenant is something that is very precious. It's very precious, and I know you don't normally describe something by its own word, but precious is something awesome. And Ella, I'm going to share your story now, okay? She's not going to be happy about this story, but that's okay. I found out about it last night. It's a perfect story. So years and years ago, when Ella was a little girl, she got a diamond from her grandparents, a big diamond. How big was it, Ella? Pretty big. And for a while, she thought it was a real diamond, and I didn't know she thought it was a real diamond for a while. And she knows now, obviously, it's not a real diamond, but she guarded that diamond for a while, and it was precious to her. And that's what, we don't need to guard our faith like that, like we don't need to hide it, but it's something precious because it's worth something, isn't it? And that's what I think of when I think of precious faith. It's something that is so valuable. And the nice thing about our precious faith is it's valuable because it produces every single time. Does the Bible say some mountains might move? Does it say that? No, it doesn't. So it doesn't say some mountains might move when you speak to them. That'd be a pretty lame scripture, wouldn't it? If you speak to the odd mountain, it might move. It might not. So let's see how it goes. All mountains move when you speak to them. The Bible doesn't say you can have a real faith and things won't move. That's basically what people do when they don't get results, so that's what they say, isn't it? Well, wasn't the Lord's will. It's my thing to suffer with. Whatever it might be. I think there's some knowledge we need to gain on this respect in order to be able to walk in this. And some understanding. And the only way to get that understanding is by understanding and reading and knowing the Word of God. So you have to walk in authority that you've been given and stop limiting your life. Satan doesn't limit your life. Sometimes he might make you feel like he can limit your life, but he doesn't have the authority to limit your life. Satan doesn't have the power to limit your life. Satan only does what he is, And what is Satan? He's a liar. He's a liar. How many of you have ever felt defeated because Satan's lied to you? He's deceived you. Satan's not powerful. Satan's not amazing. Is he? No. Is Satan everywhere? No, Satan's not omnipresent. He's not omniscient. He's not all-powerful, all-knowing. He's a liar and deceiver. And when things go wrong, when something happens, when you see something, he's going to try to lie to you. He's going to try to deceive you. He's going to whisper things in your ear like the liar that he is. But if you have given your life to Jesus, what do you have? You have a precious faith, don't you? We have a faith that works. We've allowed people and churches to redefine this word faith, though, haven't we? We've let them weaken it. We've let them weaken it. And we're not here on Sunday together or online to weaken our faith. I want you guys to have a strong, precious faith. This faith through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus. See, I think we need to really almost double down. Is that the right term? Double down on these things of confessing healing and health and prosperity and blessings. But we need to understand that there are powerful promises that speak to these things and not just say them willy-nilly because we don't know or we don't understand. We need to understand the Word of God. We need to know what it really says and not what we might have been told someday and, well, I guess that's why it didn't happen. It's not the Lord's timing or the Lord's will. Right? Boy, maybe I'm either making you guys offended. I pray I'm not. Romans 5:17, we've kind of hit this verse a couple times past few weeks, and we're going to hit it again here. For if by the trespass of the one, death reigned through the one, much more surely will those who receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. So we have a gift of righteousness, right? And what does that gift of righteousness make us? Makes us righteous, doesn't it? We're righteous because we have this gift of righteousness. The righteousness we have from Jesus puts us in right standing with God. And we are so right with God because of Jesus that every promise in the Bible is yours. It's mine. It's yours. And so this faith that is so precious because of the one thing, there's the one thing that's only separating you from the amazing, incredible life of signs, miracles, wonders, victory in every realm is to believe in the new agreement and the new covenant, to walk in the authority that he has given you. The only thing holding you back is you. And Hebrews does a great job of explaining that the covenant has been signed, sealed, and delivered. And you have access to all the promises of God because of the behavior and sacrifice of Jesus Christ, don't we? We have all access to all these promises. Even when your behavior isn't perfect, you need to believe in his righteousness. It's his righteousness. His righteousness. Nothing we do makes us more or less righteous other than walking with him and knowing him. We need to take on his righteousness, his robe of righteousness. It's not your ability or your works that make you righteous. It's Jesus who gave us this free gift of righteousness. And the reason the enemy has no power over your life is because all of the accusations that come against you because you're not living perfect, you're not doing things perfect, isn't what qualifies you for the promises of God. It's his righteousness that qualifies you. It's his goodness. Corinthians tells us that the promises of God are always what? Answered yes and amen, aren't they? They're always answered yes. Through Jesus. Jesus qualifies us for all the promises that make our faith very precious. And too many people act and think that life is sovereignly up to God. However, you've been given the authority. When Jesus came to earth, what did he die as? Did he die as God or did he die as a man? He died as a man, right? And Jesus told his disciples, all authority has been given to me in heaven and now on earth. And as a man, God gave mankind authority on the earth, and that is why Jesus came as a man, to take back that authority, to give us the authority that we can walk in the same as him. And so many people are here and they're, maybe not here, but you know what I'm saying, on earth, and they're looking at COVID-19 and the world's been shut down for this, a virus? Serious? The whole world is waiting on bated breath, on bended knee, waiting for what's going to happen next. Who has that kind of authority to scare the entire world into a shutdown? Nobody. And the problem is too many believers, not the people that don't know Jesus, the people that claim to know Jesus, too many believers are running scared. And I believe we need to say enough is enough. Believers who believe in the new covenant don't understand that they can stand on the promises and they can rise up in victory. And I'm tired of it. I'm tired of hearing this. I'm tired of hearing things like, oh, don't be such a conspiracy theorist, or don't be so much this or that. Stand on the promises that are in his word. Sorry that for yelling. But I just think this is so wrong. Don't you think this is wrong? That Christians are running in fear and they're not standing on the authority of Jesus? What type of church is Jesus coming back for? One without spot and wrinkle, right? A victorious church. See, I'm here reminding you guys today, because I know you hear it, and we've been talking about it for weeks, and we talked about it in April, about joining the army of God and special forces. Nathan's been telling you, like I said earlier, for years, the promises of God still work. That should be an amen. They still work. They weren't for back then. They weren't for later. They still work. And they've never stopped working. But I am the limiting factor. You are the limiting factor. Daniel 11:32 tells us, with smooth words of flattery and praise, he will turn to godliness those who are willing to disregard the Mosaic covenant. See, the first part of this verse is talk about those who aren't willing to stand firm and allow the enemy to come in, but they let him come in and they listen to what he says. They maybe don't stand firm and they don't walk in the authority that they've been given. And the rest of this verse reads very, very interesting. And let's listen to what it says. It says, but the people who are spiritually mature and know their God will display strength and take action to resist. And another version says this. It says, but the people, I don't have it up there, who are spiritually mature and know their God will do great exploits. What doesn't it say? It doesn't say anything about, well, except for the end of the world. Except when there's a coronavirus happening. Doesn't say that, does it? Great exploits will always be done by people who know God. By those who understand faith and who understand the new covenant that we can walk in as his church. Church, I'm telling you right now, we got to stop being weak. Our church leaders, whether it be denominational leadership, other church leaders, we need to be strong. Don't be such a wuss. Can I say wuss in church? I just did. Perfect. Maybe I'm getting through to them. We can't be such wussies. That used to be when I was a boy. Oh boy, if you called me a wuss or a wussy or something that was also worse than that, I'm not going to say. Boy, did I get mad and I got fired up and I got busy. What do you mean I can't crawl, go across this rope? You bet I can. Don't call me a wuss. I'm no wuss. Let's not be a wuss, church. Let's be strong. If we are a New Testament, New Covenant church, we need to be strong. So let's jump back to 2 Peter 1. I laid this out for you how this was going to go. I hope you're keeping up. If not, watch it again. 2 Peter 1, we talked about having that precious faith. And it's the faith that gives us the ability to believe. So how much faith is needed? And the reason I ask that question is because back in the day, they used to teach about the faith that moves the hand of God. Didn't they? Have you heard that? You've said it? And I don't think that's accurate. It's not like God is waiting like we talked earlier. And if you believe, he'll do it. It's about walking according to the new covenant and living life according to the new covenant. And the Bible in these four verses tells us that God has already given all of us, all of these things pertaining to life and godliness to us, right? We've already got it. We've already received. So if he's already given to us, then shouldn't we be living life a little bit more like it's already ours? It's mine already, isn't it? I've already been given all healing. I've already been given blessings. I've already been given prosperity. It's already mine. So why don't I start living like that? And the Bible in these four verses just reminds us of that, tells us about that. Everything's been given to us pertaining to life and godliness. So where is this is a question, and how do I produce it? And I think one of these things is very interesting. I heard this analogy used a couple times, so I'm going to use it. I'm going to steal it. I don't know whose analogy it was, but I'm going to use it. You okay with that? So say Lyle gives me a car, a brand new Corvette. He bought it for himself, but Elaine doesn't like that he drives 250 miles an hour down the highway to Saskatoon. He makes it there very quickly. So Elaine gave him some heck and said, "You got to get rid of that car." And Lyle decided he wanted to bless his pastor with his brand new Corvette. Thank you. Thank you, Lyle. And we parked that Corvette in my Quonset, in my garage. And it's in my Quonset, and he gave me the key and said, "Here, Pastor Dave, this is for you. I just want to bless you and give this to you." But every time I want to take that car for a little rip and race to Saskatoon or race to Kindersley or go anywhere, I'm like, give Lyle a call up, and I hope he answers. And I'm like, "Hey, Lyle, I was wondering if I could take your car. I want to run to Saskatoon and grab a jug of milk because that's really all I can put in there because there's no real trunk. I'm not complaining, but I'm just wondering." And he's like, "Yeah, Dave, it's your car. Take it. Do what you want." And then a couple days later, I want to run to Kindersley because I got to restock some hot sauce there. And I'm like, "Hey, Lyle, Kindersley Packers need some hot sauce. Can I borrow the car again?" And he's like, "Yeah, Dave, it's your car. Take and use it. Go." And then a week later, I'm like, "Oh, it'd be fun to drive. It's warm out. It's a nice sunny day. I should take Lyle's car in for a drive to the church." And that's what I'm going to take to the church. So I call him up and, "Hey, Lyle, can I borrow the car? Like, I'd like to really go to church. It's a nice day. I'd like to put the top down." It's a convertible, by the way, Lyle, just in case you're wondering. "I'd like to put the top down and drive in and let the wind flow through my hair." And Lyle says to me, "Dave, what is wrong with you? Like, I've given you the car. It's sitting in your Quonset. I know you've been looking at it and admiring. You have the keys in your drawer. I know it. When I came to get my fifth wheel to go camping, I saw it there. It's ready to go. It's your car. Put the keys in it. Take it for a drive when you want. It's your car. I've given it to you. You have all the authority to use it. So just go. Use it." And he says in 2 Peter 1 that I have already given you all things pertaining to life and godliness. Where did he give them? He placed them within Jesus, and Jesus is within our spirit. And now this is a matter of simply believing and doing. Our faith is precious. What are we feeding our faith? Are we feeding our faith things? Are we feeding our faith the Word of God? Are we feeding our faith fear? Are we feeding our faith doubts? What are we feeding our faith? So whatever you feed your faith, or whatever you feed becomes powerful in your life, doesn't it? And whatever you don't feed becomes weak. So are you so focused on what Premier Mo and Dr. Shahab are saying that that's all you're focused on? What are they going to do? What are they going to do? How many died today? How many got sick today? Oh my goodness. 21. But we got 7,000 recoveries. I don't know. I'm just... Or are we focused on CNN or Fox or Global or CBC? Double yuck. Are we focused on that, or what are we focused on? What are we putting our time in? Are we feeding with negative news? Are we listening to these negative Nellies? Which isn't even news anymore, it's just opinion and propaganda. Feed the Word of God into your life. Feed the promises of Scripture into your life. Do you know the Word? Are you rising up and having great exploits, as we read a few moments ago? 1 Peter 1, we also read that grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Peace. Peace. And I think we're going to be talking about peace in our Christmas series in a few weeks. Peace. Peace that comes from God will make you look so confident, won't it? Because when you have peace from God rather than peace from the world, you know how things are, don't you? You look so confident. You look like me, so attractive, so put together. Why are you laughing, Gary? See, the world can't have the type of peace that we have, the peace that passes all understanding. That's a peace that we have. And this peace that is multiplied in our lives as we learn more about Jesus, as we grow an understanding of the Word, of who God is, of what we have. That's a pretty solid peace to stand on, isn't it? Next, what do we have? For His divine power has bestowed on us absolutely everything necessary for dynamic spiritual life and godliness through true and personal knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and excellence. So again, what it is saying is, what is limiting you is you. It's your lack of knowledge. And I know, yes, I know the Bible's full of escape clauses, and we have clauses in there that we can call in the name of the Lord and we'll be saved, we'll call in the name of the Lord, we can be healed. But in everyday life, we need to really just get to know Him. I don't want to be pulling those escape clauses. That's not how I want to live my life. I want to, because when you're pulling escape clauses, that means you're almost going from, I guess you'd say, battle to battle, aren't you? Rather than just living a life of victory to victory. We need to grow up and gain some knowledge in God. To allow the Holy Spirit, to teach us and show us things so that we can walk as a church, as individuals in Christ, in the full authority that's already been given to us. And as we spend time with Him, something's going to change on the inside of us, and we're going to begin to live with the authority that He's given us. Do you want to live in the authority He's given us, or do you want to live from battle to battle, hoping you might win and pull out an escape clause? And as I'm preparing to close now, don't worry. I've gone longer than I should have, but I've got a couple more points here, okay? Are you okay with that? Good, because if you just said no, I'd have said too bad. It's a rhetorical question. I didn't care what you answered, but thanks, John, for answering that way. So I've got this verse that really I love, and it's Isaiah 59:21. It says, "As for me, this is my covenant with them, says the Lord. My spirit which is upon you and my words which I have put in your mouth shall not depart from your mouth, nor from the mouths of your children, nor from the mouth of your children's children, says the Lord, from now and forever." So what's he saying? The promises of God, the principles of the cross, just don't hope that your kids and your grandkids go to church and know God. They don't just go to church and know Jesus. It's not just, what's the game? Crapshoot or whatever it is, that saying. I don't even know if it's a game, but whatever. Crapshoot. Maybe it's from playing the game craps. I don't know. I've heard the saying. I've used it. Maybe I don't use it right. But it's not just a game of chance. Let's say that. Don't hope that they know what the word says rather than what the world says. We want them to know what the word says, not what the world says. Are you teaching the next generation, the people that are in your life, the young ones in the church, the young ones that you know, your family? Are you teaching the next generation and your family to speak what the Bible promises are? Or are you teaching them to speak suffering and pain of the world? So whatever your mouth is full of, that's what you're prophesying over your life and your future. Every person on this life is a self-proclaiming prophet. And what you're speaking and believing is what you're allowing to come into your life. Speak his word over your life. Speak his promises over your life. Stop limiting God. Start walking with the authority we've been called to walk in and we have been given. Amen? So I've got this next note titled Bonus Material If Time, and I'm going to make time. It says in Isaiah 59:19, "So shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west and his glory from the rising of the sun. When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him." It means that regardless of how the enemy might come in, whether it's through your neighbors, through another country, through leadership, through a virus, if there are people who are called by his name who will speak the promises and stand up and make their life count, the Bible says he will lift up a standard. And a standard is a really unique word. It means something that goes on, and someone or something tries to come against you, and instead of advancing, they will run in terror because of something that the Lord raises up. It doesn't say exactly how or whatever it looks like, but we know that the attack, as it tries to come against you, will run away in terror when the Lord raises up the standard. I don't know if it's a wall. I don't know what it is. I'm still looking and understanding that word, but I thought it important to share with you guys. And one of the promises God says is that your enemies will come at you. One way, won't they? And how many, do they keep coming? Or do they flee seven ways? The attack may be well-planned attack that the enemy thinks they have. But when it comes to a defense system, the standard is there. And they will flee in terror. And over again, we saw this fulfilled in the Old Testament. And when we hear the word COVID, do we gasp in fear and awe of the power? Or do we gasp in awe of the power of the name of Jesus? See, I'm not worried. I have no fear. No fear of COVID. And this will probably get me in trouble, but that's okay. Not from you guys. I have zero fear of the word COVID. In our house, we don't gasp in fear. When Dr. Tam comes up in the news, we mute her and we go blah, blah, blah because we don't like that. Because I don't want to fill my life with negative talk. I want to fill my life and my kids' life with scripture and to stand on the word of God, on the promises of God. So when I hear the word COVID, what do I think? And what I pray you think? I'm not worried because scripture tells us that no plague comes near my dwelling, let alone my body. So why are we putting a virus on a special list? Just because the world's freaking out in fear doesn't mean we need to. It means we need to be the light. We need to speak life. The Bible says what? 1,000 will fall at your side? And what else does it tell you? 10,000 at your hand. It won't come near you. The Bible says it won't come near your dwelling. Why do Christians wait until they're sick and then try to believe in God then? We're to speak the word of God, aren't we? In all things. And we need to speak the word of God. Obviously, I'm not saying be stupid out there and go find somebody that has COVID and give them a kiss. That's not what I'm telling you to do. If you're married, you shouldn't even be doing that. So let's not even go there. But you know what I'm saying, right? I'm not telling you to be dumb. That's the last thing I'd be telling you to do. But I'm telling you to walk in boldness and in victory. I'm going to invite the music team up. In boldness and in victory. We're to speak the word of God. And not wait till we're sick or we have anything going on with our family or friends. Speak the word of God and say, it doesn't come anywhere near my dwelling. It doesn't come anywhere near my family. It doesn't come anywhere near my home. And this is what the word of God tells us. This is the authority that we have in our lives, amen? Don't look at the enemy in fear. Rather, stand on your authority. Watch the enemy run. Speak the word of God. Pray the word of God over your life, amen? Because there's power and authority in the word of God. And I know I'm going to get heck from my wife too for this later, but that's okay. We need to live the word of God and walk in the authority and the promises that are already ours. Instead of running like fear, like the world would have us run. As that verse says, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Will you serve him with the authority that he's given you? Or will you live life in fear? Will you use the wisdom that he's given you and ask for wisdom? Or will you live in fear? I pray that you will walk in the authority that he's given us, that we already have. You will walk in the blessings and the promises that we already have. That thing that's holding you back is you, that you would just shed that and you would start to understand according to his word what you have and who you are. Let's pray. Father God, right now, God, we come before you and we just thank you. Father, we thank you that we know that we can walk in your blessings as believers. That we can walk secure in your promises of health, of prosperity, of blessings over our life because you've already given that to us. So Father, I pray that if any of us are not experiencing that, that if any of us are not fully understanding that, God, that you would direct us in your word to where we need to be so that we can fully know and come to realize and all enjoy the blessings of your promises and the goodness of your promises. God, I pray that we would all hold and cling to the supernatural health that you have given us. Father, that we wouldn't live a life of fear, but we would live a life of victory and live a life of authority that you've called us to. God, I pray that you would bless us. If anybody right now is just feeling concerned, if they're anxious, God, I pray right now that you would breathe in your peace, the peace that passes all understanding into their life, God. Father, I pray that they would know and feel secure in you. God, I pray for wisdom of where to go and where not to go, Father. And God, I pray that we would have the boldness to walk in the authority you've called us to walk in. In Jesus' name, amen. Guys, God bless.